Hola, hola, buenos días. Habla tu locutora Isela y esta es la hora con Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. Good morning.
Good morning. Buenos días, buenos días. ¿Cómo están todos?
I'm super excited. I'm actually nervous. Híjole, I'm so excited. I want to hear more music. So sorry.
I'm like, uy. Why are you nervous?
I know.
I think I know why.
My son's graduating today.
Yeah.
So exciting.
You did it.
I know. Well, he did it.
Well, he did it, but I mean, you raised him for 18 years, so you did it too. Today's not just about him, it's about you too.
There you go.
There you go.
So, yeah, I got the, I guess I, se me pegó el senioritis, so yeah, I'm suffering from that greatly. So I didn't want to skip over. Please do not forget to visit our Facebook page, La Hora con Isela y Gabriela. We also have an Instagram page as well. I love Instagram. It's easier to post.
Yeah,
and then from there it transfers over to Facebook. So if you want to send us a little private message through Instagram, you're more than welcome to. We have a great show this morning. We're gonna talk about sexo, and I know it's like it's been.
Sex.
I know.
Uh oh.
It makes me want to sing a song, but I'm not gonna sing that song. So, because I don't know how to sing in English. I see no. But we do have a great show, and I feel like this caffeine is kicking in, so we're gonna jump right in. And as always, it's always a pleasure being here with you guys, mi lindo vallecito, and of course for all of the family and friends that are listening, thank you for tuning in this morning.
Yes, thank you so much for tuning in. Like Isela said, we are going to have la plática, the talk, right? That's what it's always referred to, because sex is too taboo to even say, hey, let's talk about sex. No, we have to say we need to have the talk.
Yeah, let's talk the talk. Y las abejitas y las
mariposas. And the bees. And oh my goodness. No, I'm really excited. It's going to be a really good conversation that's going to take place. So before we get to that, you know how we're always making fun of national holidays?
Of course.
And just teasing them just a little bit. So I have to admit, I kind of actually like today's. Do you know what it is?
No, let's hear it.
It's National Chocolate Ice Cream Day.
Hey, nothing wrong with a little bit of chocolate ice cream. And it's very unfortunate that Cold Stone does not operate in Napa anymore.
You're telling me. I remember it was like the best ice cream shop to go to, and now I can't get my Coffee Lovers Only anymore.
Mine is Rocky Road. Their chocolate ice cream, I don't know what it is about their chocolate ice cream. It's very, very rich. It's worth having a stomach ache for, because I'm lactose intolerant and I can't be doing that. So I really do like, okay, I am going to go travel somewhere to get a stomach ache.
I'm over here wondering if I'm allowed to participate in the festivities, because I'm not all about chocolate, but I'm about mocha almond fudge. That's my favorite flavor. You know, it's a little bit of chocolate in there, you know?
Just a little bit.
You got the coffee flavored ice cream with the fudge and the nuts. Makes me go fudge and nuts, man. You like my punniness?
Yes.
Oh, I know. Huh? I'm so hilarious.
Yes. When you said that, no, this is a side conversation. I won't even get there. But anyhow, you know, I love chocolate. I really do. But, you know, I'm more like savoring it. I've seen people bite into chocolate. I'm not much into
You've
that.
You've never bitten into chocolate before?
I'll bite into chocolate. I'll savor it. You know what I mean? But I'll let it melt in my mouth. I'm not the one that's sitting there like, hey, crunch Dutch. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting there
just
chewing
swirling
it.
Swirling around the tongue, really enjoying every flavor and every inch of your mouth. Yep, I get it.
There you go. There you go. So, yes. So, everyone, happy National Chocolate Ice Cream Day. Go get your ice cream. I'll probably get mine on, you know, after the festivities.
After the graduation
today.
Festivities. Yes. Hey, it's a great dessert, you know, a nice little treat for everybody, maybe for yourself, for your son. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you treat yourself on National Donut Day? I think it was last week.
No, but I know Craig did, because, you know, that's what a...
That's what a cop does.
That's what a cop does.
The stereotypical cop.
So him and all his, you know, department were lined up.
Oh, my goodness. I actually heard that Dunkin' Donuts was giving away free donuts if they bought a drink, but... Or maybe I should say, and they even partnered with Lyft, allowing like the first, I think it was 10,000 Lyft users who used a Dunkin' Donuts promo code to get a free ride to the donut shop. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what?
like what we're is promoting
this? What is life? I know. Why do I have celiac disease, man? Like, do you make gluten-free donuts? Why are you discriminating against celiac disease people?
Oh my goodness. I'm like, you know, get a free ride to a clinic somewhere, you know? A blood drive.
Does my free ride to Dunkin' Donuts include my free ride to the hospital after?
Right. Goodness. Free ambulance ride right after that.
Oh my goodness.
Sometimes these national days are getting out of hand. I'm totally like, sometimes it's like, hey, national hot dog, national something. Oh my gosh. It was I can't tell you when I look at the page that, you know, you and I go on. Mm-hmm. It is just some things you thought didn't exist, and they exist.
Yeah.
You will find it. You will find a day. You'll find a month, a week, whatever it is, but you'll find it.
Oh, it'll be on there. It'll be on there for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then was it yesterday? No, Tuesday was voting day.
Yes.
Yes. I was trying to post on our page, you know, to get people to go out, especially, you know, our gente Latina. I know that we tend to get talked about a lot in the media as not voting, especially for me, I'm a Latina and I'm young, you know, so people tend to talk a lot about how young voters don't exercise their right to vote, and you know, Latin Americans don't exercise their right to vote. And so I was really trying to push for that on our Instagram page, just because I thought it was something important. You know, for me, if you have the right to vote and you're able to,
right,
you know, why not educate yourself and exercise that right? Because if you're not, given the current political climate, then you're kind of part of the problem if you're not trying to fix it.
I'm gonna, and this is a shout out to Laura Valencia here in town, and there was a post that she put on, I believe it was Facebook, early on Tuesday, where she said, almost como que envidia, because unfortunately she can't vote, but she wishes she had that.
Right.
And so she was really encouraging, you know, nuestra gente that, you know, you have this right, use it, because there's other people that wish they can use it and can't.
Oh yeah.
And they reside here. They are parts of our community and they are doing the right thing for our community. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, sometimes we're like, no quiero. My son was one of them.
Good for
you
him.
You know, he actually was the one that like, let me relax and no, it's okay. Or, you know, mom, can you just vote whoever? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. So come to my office. Let's talk about the pros and cons.
That's awesome.
And we were able to discuss like what was on the ballot and what are primaries, because he had no idea what this was. He thought it was done deal. And I'm like, no.
Because then you get, you know, people who actually don't know about the primaries, you know, complain about who's on the ballot during, you know, the general election. And it's just like, that's what the primaries are for, to decide who's going to be on that ballot. So, you know, if you want to get somebody that you're interested in, right now was the time to vote, you know, and not just, you know, for, what was it? I think we had an attorney general, and there's like all these measures, you know, that were in Napa that people were voting for as well. So it's just really important. And I particularly think it was important just because while I was at the gym before Tuesday, I think this was on Sunday, I was looking up at the TV and I noticed that they were interviewing this Caucasian man. I literally cannot remember his name, but he was probably in his late 60s or so, and 100% a white nationalist, who was on TV saying that his goal is to make Chicago 90% white. And I literally had to stop running and look at the TV and see if what I was reading was accurate.
Right.
And then they went on to talk about, you know, how this year it's actually made history to the point of this is the most people they've seen come out that are white nationalists that are empowered because of the Trump administration to, you know, be openly racist and talk about these things. And I'm like, okay, this is exactly why it's important to vote.
Right.
Because if you don't, these are the kind of people that, especially cuando tienen
dinero, are going to be making our decisions.
Exactly. And are you kidding me? Like, please, I don't want to go back to the 50s or the 40s or, you know, a time when things weren't, you know, especially great. So, I don't know. It's scary, and it's not something that anybody should be taking lightly. It's just, we know we have to do our part. And if you have, like I said, that right,
exercise it.
Exercise it. Exactly. Remember how many people fought for you. It hasn't even been 100 years, you know, and you could count back to when women didn't even have the right to vote, you know. So it's just,
no,
it's
claro.
Just exercise it. And no, don't just exercise it, but educate yourself on it.
I mean,
so important.
Tuvimos tanta gente that back then fought for all of these rights to vote, office. I mean, to be hold office. I mean, ¿por qué no estamos en la mesa? And so I did go and vote. I wanted to use a new electronic form. So I went in. excuse me. I used a new electronic form. I suppose NAPA is one of the ones that is initiating this electronic form of electing. And so I want to say that I liked it. It was very easy. But I do feel that we have a lot of work to do. The system is on a large font on a really weird screen. Mm. And so my privacy was not being protected.
Right.
So everyone could see exactly who I was voting for if you were standing in line at the elections office.
Right.
I believe it is ADA accessible, so that's the reason why I'm assuming that the font was as big as it was.
Okay.
And very, very easy. You just touch the box and it votes for you.
There was no, like, screen around you? Or,
I do have it. I do have a screen, you know, on the sides.
Okay.
So
but
anyone sitting
behind, you,
behind me, no.
Oh.
Mm. And so behind me was, you know, the clerks that were helping at the office. So I have to approve. I'm giving the thumb of approval. My only say to our to Mr. John Tudor would be actually to have maybe a little curtain behind,
mm-hmm.
because anyone standing, I mean, traffic, pedestrians in and out of that
Insane.
Office.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So I
went
found
through the
myself
drive-through and it was like crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a drive-through until I saw it and I was like, a drive-through? Okay.
Right. So
have to
I
get
found
in my car.
I found myself having to write on a piece of paper who I was going to vote for, and then, you know, when I saw that there was no one behind me, then I voted next, because I think you had two choices per screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to leave one vote on the screen while I was thinking about the next
right.
one. So, you know, I'm just picky like that. I know that I don't really care if anyone knows, but I know if someone else would probably have that issue. And of course, I mean, it defeats the purpose if you have the two screens on the side
exactly.
of you that someone can see from behind.
Right.
So screens were really weird. They were really long,
hmm.
kind of like an iPad looking thing, but very long. So
oh, okay.
they were about this big. I would say maybe about like dos pies. They're
oh,
really
my
weird.
Goodness.
Yeah. They're long.
And with big font. You're
yeah.
just like, excuse me.
Hey, I'm voting for so-and-so and so-and-so and this measure. I'm yeah, so it was kind of weird, but I have to say I'm giving it an approval because I think it was really, really easy. At the end, it gives you a confirmation of who you're voting for, and then you get to print out, you know, on a sheet of paper. It has kind of like a little, what are those little codes called? Those electronic codes that you could scan.
I don't know.
Anyway,
scanny thing.
A scanny thing.
A
yes.
scanny thing.
So it gives you a scanny thing. You put it inside your ballot envelope. You seal it up. You give it back to them. And then your vote's in. And it has like
well,
a little chip card that you put in there. So you give it back to them. It erases. And then you redo it again.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the positive thing in that is que votaste. You
yeah.
exercise that right. I exercise that right. Hopefully many more of our radio escuchas out there exercise that right. And if you didn't, well, you know, hopefully you will in the upcoming elections.
The next
ones.
Yes.
Las próximas. Para la próxima.
Yeah. So that ends our first segment of just mm-hmm. how wonderful our week has been.
Hopefully
I'm still
your
running.
Week has been just as great.
I know. Everyone has the right to feel happy. Un poquito nerviosos. I'm nervous today, so it's a really good jitter that I have today. So for all you guys, if you're just listening, this is your locutora Isela Martin with La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. Please stay tuned for our conversaciones on the second segment regarding sexo, la platiquita.
Sex. Sex, sex, sex.
And our voice, it changes.
Sex, sex. Shh, don't say it too loudly. People might hear us.
¿Qué va a decir la gente? Anyway, stay tuned. And we are back. This is your locutora, Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. This is our second segment. Vamos a hablar in our little piece of conversaciones sobre sexo. Y sabemos, at least I know, that it's always been a little bit of a taboo to talk about.
Especially in our culture.
Right. This is just kind of like a general scope of hablando de sexo, talking about sex. And the reason why we're doing it in general, we were talking about this. We're actually going to dissect it into different segments, whether it's like sex ed, talking about, we're thinking about getting someone on the air with regard to a small business that they have for natural products, hygiene products, whether it's like tampons, condoms, lubricants that, you know, we have to also consider that it's not just something that we eat, we put in our hair. It's also something that we put into our bodies. And so someone that's really making a change and how she's actually had doors close in her face. So anyway, that's a different show. But today, let's get started. Let's get in it.
In it. In it. We gonna get in it. No, I'm actually really excited. I wanted for us to dive into, you know, this talk. And like you said, it's going to be a little general, but it's more so going to be about, like, why is it that we make it, ira, ya empecé, it, sex. Yes, that's the word that we're using here. Because that's what it is, right? It's natural. It's part of human development. It's part of life. Why is it that sex is so bad to talk about and, you know,
and everyone's doing it.
Yeah, everyone. Todos. And I mean, I feel like, you know, it's, I don't know, from the conversations I've had with other people, because I did post about this on my personal Instagram, you know, I started asking people, you know, like, what did conversations around sex look like in their households? And a lot of my friends that responded, you know, are Latin American, but some of them weren't. And I was really surprised to find out that, you know, at least, you know, my friends that aren't Latinos, at least they had some kind of conversation about the birds and the bees or whatever it was. But in my household and with my other friends that were responding that, you know, are from a Latin American background, that conversation never happened. I could tell you from myself, personal experience, nope, nada, never had a single conversation. It was something that you just didn't go into. And, you know, that's not to shame my mama or my dad or to talk bad about them for, you know, not talking about these things. But, I mean, hello, like, we need to point them out. You know, why do we make it this big elephant in the room? I remember when I was curious about something, we were at a garage sale, and all my mom did was buy me this book that was called The Care and Keeping of You, a book for growing girls. And I was just like, I remember reading it.
But you know what? That was, at least she did that, which was
to cry and beg for it. Like, like, are you kidding? And even when I had questions about it, it was like, no, we weren't talking about this. That's why I bought you the book.
So
the
you
book
mean
needs the, to give
the
you
book
the answers.
Did not come with the Q&A, with the FAQ in the back?
No, it did not. It did not.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, it's just like, it's so, I don't think we recognize as parents, you know, now as I'm growing older and, you know, I have my own son, I don't think we recognize at the time just how much the lack of talking about sex can impact our views on, you know, consent just in general, from both like a male and female perspective, what a mutual caring relationship looks like, the responsibility that comes with having sex, HIV protection, other STD protections, you know, teenage pregnancy rates. Like, we don't understand exactly how not talking about it is going to shape your entire world about how you end up perceiving sex. And there's a lot of research regarding how not talking about it actually increases teenage pregnancy rates, it increases abortion rates, it increases STDs among, you know, young adults, because of the fact that if they're not educated on it, they don't know how to protect themselves. They don't
¿Sabes?
Know.
¿Sabes? Ahorita que me dices esto about not talking about it, and no one wants to talk about it either, especially when I'm going to bring it up right now, but STDs in higher numbers are seen in the retired and older communities.
Really? Really?
Believe it or not. So there was actually a quick YouTube video that I actually watched, and I ended up showing it to my son, and he was dying. He was like, oh my gosh, Mom, these people are so old. Why are they doing this video? And it was just a bunch of older folks fully clothed, and they were just doing different kind of positions, which was funny. And then put underneath, you know, each position, they were putting statistics. And one of the statistics was 60% higher rates of STDs in the older community.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's just funny that, you know, we don't talk about those things. Why? Because, híjole, ya los viejitos ya deben de saber. You know, like, why?
Or they should already know. And it's like, no, the education, and this is probably the biggest thing that I took away from all of the research that I was doing, is sex is not a one-time conversation. It is not something that you have once. It is a conversation that you continue having as early as, I mean, in European countries, it's mandated starting from pre-K. You know, and to somebody, you know, that might seem like, why are you teaching a four-year-old, you know, about sex? Well, we're teaching it to them in their terms and what they're understanding, because as a child, you're already curious. Right. And if it's not you having those conversations in your household, it's going to be the media. It's going to be your child's curious nature to go on the internet and look up porn.
And it may be fake at that point.
Exactly.
So.
I mean, like, in 2005, when Pornhub became this free website, you know, that ultimately gave access to all of these adolescent kids that don't have to be 18 or pay for, you know, to watch what's going on. And now all of a sudden it's available to them. And to them it might be like, oh, this is how you do things, you know? And the problem with that is, one, porn is not realistic. And two, I mean, it's about as realistic
as
WWE or whatever it's called. But you know, like, the point that I'm trying to make is, if you're not educating your child, somebody else is going to, and they're not going to do it in a way where your child is going to learn how to engage in sexual activity in the healthiest way.
Correct. So, and we'll have a ton of parents, actually. I'm sure we'll have plenty of parents going to schools and saying, well, why is this being taught to my son or daughter? And of course, it would be, you know, said in different terms, like you said. It would be talked about in a softer manner. It'd talk about, you know, in mommy's tummy this, and they're like, what? What is going on? But sabes que esa es la plática que tenemos que tener, because we are not having enough of this en nuestras escuelas. Esa es la mera verdad.
They removed sex ed after my freshman year at St. Helena. So it was just kind of like, but why would you do that, you know?
Yeah. So I think we should be having these conversations with, you know, our schools. We should be talking to other moms that are just as interested, and our dads, no offense to them, and seeing how we can actually reincorporate this, porque sí, and see, at least from personal experience, when my kids are curious, they're curious by nature, and everybody knows this, who knows me, and I mean, they'll go on the internet before they ask me a question, and why, it's more like, why they almost automatically assume I'm gonna get upset. I'm like, there's nothing to get upset about. If you're curious, just ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't come up that way. And so they'll look at, you know, some other website, because I even remember when the internet first started and was brought into their lives. It's like, Mom, if I click on this button, I'm going to win $10,000. So yeah, they believe absolutely anything that's on the internet. So what makes you think that, you know, not speaking about my kids, but that your kids are not going to have that same take on things that are on the media? And that's exactly what everyone's fighting for, that, you know, get rid of all this fake news. It's not just the news that's out there. It's the lack of information that we know that's true. No sabemos si sí o no es cierto.
And at the end of the day, that's genuinely all you want to do, is provide accurate information. Talking about sex doesn't have to be treated as this loss of innocence. It's just, you're literally teaching your child how their body works in the same way that you would teach your child how their brain works, how to, you know, throw a football, how to clean up their scrape, you know, so that they don't get an infection if they cut their knee. Like, literally, it's so natural and a part of you that how can you expect for them to not learn about it directly from you, but then somehow when they're older, it's automatically expected that they're just supposed to know what to do, how to protect themselves, how to not get pregnant, how to prevent an STD, how to do all of these things when I've literally never been shown anything.
I'll tell you this. I had a friend back in junior high, middle school, for those that don't know what junior high is. And actually, because talking about any kind of health education or sex education was completely off limits in her home, she started her period really, really early on and didn't want to wear a pad for some reason. And so I was the one teaching her how to use a tampon. And it was really unfortunate because she ended up hurting herself prior to her even asking. And that was because I can't use a tampon because I was told, I'm going to lose my virginity. Or
I was literally told the same thing.
And so it was, you know, it's this scary thing. Like, don't do it. This is going to happen. And it's like, you know, I wish you would go about that a different way because regardless, she still ended up using them, but she ended up hurting herself. And
it's like, don't you want to help your children? You know, and again, as we're talking about this, you know, mom, if you're listening, I'm not talking bad about you. You know, I'm sure you did the best you could. But, you know, it is important for other parents that are currently raising their children to know that it can be dangerous if you don't have these conversations because, like you said, that girl went on to hurt herself, you know? Or we create this perception that protecting yourself is somehow bad, you know? So she was told that using a tampon was somehow going to make her lose her virginity. I remember when I started using tampons, my mom was like, ¿Por qué estás usando eso? You know, just like, that's so bad. Like, nothing's supposed to go up there. You know, that's your holy space. Your body is a temple. And it's like, yeah, it is. But then why don't we talk about it? You know, and me using a tampon does not all of a sudden mean that
you
my body isn't a temple.
Yeah. And you would think that, like, everyone's creating everything, simplifying your vida and everything, that anybody has created something more simple than a pad. I mean, I have to admit that pad use is just the worst thing I can ever imagine.
Yeah, it doesn't stop anything. It just makes everything go everywhere, you know? I'm not trying to be graphic.
Yo no voy a poner pañal tampoco, así que, anyway.
Exactly. You know, but I think where a lot of that conversation stems from is the Catholic piece. You know, a lot of Latinos are super, super religious. And so then they start bringing in, you know, like, oh, you're supposed to wait to have sex until marriage. So because we don't believe in sex before marriage, like, we're not going to talk about it.
Right.
I remember I went to St. Mary's and it was my first year there as a freshman. It was maybe a couple months into the school, and within 2 weeks, we had had two rapes already. And I was like, my mom called me freaking out because she was like, I sent you to Catholic school. Like, what's going on? We had the San Jose Mercury News on site. But the conversation that was coming down from the school administration was, don't be talking about this. You know, we don't talk about sex. I was the vice president of my class, so we were trying to, and I worked with the sexual assault center on campus. So we were trying to work with the health center to allow people to get information about consent, about safe sex, about, you know, here's some condoms if you're going to engage in that activity. And it was like an immediate no. Like, this is a Catholic campus. You do not give out condoms, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, dude, I get you. Like, I get that you're a Catholic campus. But this is still college, and these are still young adults, and they're still going to be engaging in this. So would you rather have them engaging in safe sex, or would you rather just pretend to not talk about it because there's this religious piece, and we're going to ignore it because, oh, it's not happening. No, it's happening, sir.
Yeah. So
it's happening.
Yeah, as much as we want to block it, I think the more you block it, the more it's going to happen, and that's what you kind of pulled out before we got into the college piece, where entre menos hablas, the more it's going to happen. Or the more you restrict something, the more someone's going to break that little rule or law or whatever thought you have. So I think that's the same way that they're going, where it's like, okay, somos de esa religión, and so regardless, it's not going to happen. Okay, that's a belief, but let's think actuals. ¿Qué en realidad está pasando?
Exactly. What's the reality? And I feel like that's what needs to be the key piece is, what is the reality? And the reality is that kids are naturally curious. They want to learn about, you know, what is this thing that we're not supposed to talk about? And it's almost like when you don't talk about something, when you treat something that taboo, that gray, you know, you're not supposed to go there and you don't give it a name, it makes it seem like it's that much worse. And sex doesn't have to be a bad thing. And talking about sex doesn't mean, you know, you're telling your 12-year-old, please go engage in having sex. No, you're educating them on when they get to a point in their life that they have met someone and want to engage in it consensually in a mutually respectful way, they'll know what to do.
And, you know, even talking about, you know, que lo que puede pasar, you know, age differences and different rules, laws and regulations that are behind it. I think it really, and it's not like a scare tactic. It's more like, I'm scared for you. Should you engage in this kind of, you know, behavior con una menor or, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because even if you're 18, they still don't understand that the fact that maybe they might still go to school with this person, you know, but you are now considered an adult.
Exactly.
And so you'll be tried as an adult. And so maybe it would help, you know, a lot of, you know, kids that are in that situation, especially going to school, with, you know, or being in the same class for that matter.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think another big thing is, I think that when people talk about sex, they tend to just talk to girls about, like, oh, you don't do this because you could get pregnant. Well, you know, those conversations need to be had with boys just as much as girls.
Oh, yeah.
Because it takes two to tango, and that's why it cannot be a one-sided conversation.
It takes two to zapatear.
Yes, it does. Something that I did think was interesting, though, while I was doing all of my research and, you know, talking about sex and, you know, the different things that can come from it was...
I'm looking at my notes. Sorry, I'm laughing. I'm looking at the PP talk because Lord knows we have that talk.
Okay, that was my other thing, though. Side note is just, yeah, you know, we teach boys from a young age, like, this is your pee-pee. You know, we let them know, like, don't be grabbing it or groping yourself in public.
Right.
And things like that, how to act appropriately with it. But then when it comes to women, we don't teach them what their vagina is. We don't say, this is your vagina. You know, you go from, this is your belly button, and underneath your belly button are your piernas and your knees and your butt. Like, we skip that area entirely, almost as if, like, why aren't we talking about this? Like, why is it so bad?
And you know what? I don't even know, because I can't even remember a conversation having with my mom about, you know, my vagina. I have not. Maybe now as an adult, yes, but no. I have two boys, and yes, we did talk about the, we would call it a, what would we call
it? The bird?
No, not even that.
El pájaro.
El pajarito, yeah, el pajarito, o el piruli.
El piruli.
But, I mean, growing up, then they knew that that was, ese era su miembro, you know, and it was like, it's so funny that, you know, now thinking about it, I'm like, no, I never had that conversation. You know, to my sisters out there, please, I'm going to see you today. Let me know. Did we talk about it? Because I don't even think so. I'd like to know. I'm a middle child, so maybe they skipped over me. So.
Mom's like, I'll let the other daughters fill her
I'll
in.
I'll let them fill her in. So I'm just kind of curious if they actually had the talk or not. And so send me a text. So I'd like to know.
Yes. But one of the things that I really wanted to mention was not talking about it, you know, and then young adults really not understanding, you know, what sex is and how to engage in it in a healthy manner, has kind of led us to what a lot of researchers and psychologists are calling a hookup culture, in which it's more normal now to go and get wasted and have sex with a random stranger than it is to literally soberly walk up to somebody and ask them out on a date. And if you think about it, I mean, they don't know how to, because it's so awkward to talk about sex,
right.
I mean, and they haven't talked about it, you know, that's the only way that they know how to engage.
Yeah, so
in
you
it.
Become bold at one point in your life, and that's probably drinking alcohol and then finding yourself with a complete stranger later. I've seen a couple of posts online where it's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Or who is this girl?
Yeah.
And they're laying in bed together, which is really sad because it is coming down to that. I know personally, I have some acquaintances that I know that do that regularly, and it's... I don't know how you do that. I consider myself a bit old fashioned. I did do the online dating, and the online dating, it was, well, just kidding. Well, and that's the thing, that I'm old fashioned, but you know, trying something new like that was a huge jump. But mm-hmm. from there, I found out that people were just hooking up, like
yeah.
you say.
Yeah.
And it was,
it's
really
Tinder,
disappointing.
All these other Bumble, Grindr, all these apps.
Grindr. Okay.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And,
you know,
and I have to be really, really lucky, because then I met old fashioned, you know, Craig.
Old fashioned Craig.
Yes. And
hey,
so
old
we were like,
Craig.
While he's sleeping. But, you know, it was good, because we kind of met each other halfway, and it was like, I'm not about this meeting up and whatever. Mm-hmm. We met up in separate cities, from mine and from his, because he's from a different city as well. And so we just had coffee maybe for about 2 hours, you know, and it was like, it was great, but it took us a minute to get there, you know, because mm-hmm. everybody else was so interested in just doing this hookup thing that it was absolutely ridiculous. And we can have a whole show on that stuff.
Yeah.
Shoot, I'd love to have, like, on the show to have maybe someone from Tinder or Grindr, you know, call, and let's talk about their statistics and what that looks like.
Yeah, because seriously, I don't even think they should be called dating apps. I think they should be called sex apps. Like, that's literally what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then truly. It's just like, and again, that's why I say the conversation needs to be around both men and women, because I remember, you know, I had a Tinder at one point, I want to say maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just like the only messages that were coming in were guys being like, your place or mine, or, you know, like all of these like grotesque comments
right.
that all allude to literally just wanting to get into my pants. And it's like, you're a complete stranger. That's kind of a disgusting way to start a conversation.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. Believe me, there were many messages that weren't even open just by the way the opening line or the subject line. And I'm like, delete. And so what you have to do, especially when you're doing that, it's pretty much build that really good profile stating that, you know, you aren't into the sex thing. That's not what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I think I built a really solid profile. And I guess that's what caught Mr. Krager Raider's eye.
One more thing before we sign off. I just want to make sure that if you are a parent or a child or a young adult, you know, and you want more information on sex and how to engage in these conversations, I know there's a lot of pamphlets available through Planned Parenthood. We have a local office here located at 1735 Jefferson Street. Their phone number is also 707-252-8050. Make sure you're educating yourself from everything regarding the sex spectrum, from how to take care of yourself, HIV prevention, pregnancy, all that stuff, both men and women. You know, the conversation needs to be for both of you. Sex isn't something bad. We shouldn't treat it as bad either. So just get the information you need. And again, you know, unfortunately, sometimes when we don't educate ourselves and we don't know how to, you know, respect relationships or people, there are sexual assaults and rapes that can happen. So I know we've given this number out before, but if you've experienced a situation like that or need someone to talk to, please know that there are tons and tons of resources and services here in Napa. One of them is NEWS, the Napa Emergency Women's Services, local and confidential organization. They're located at 1141 Pear Tree Lane here in Napa, and their phone number is 255-6397. So just always know there's tons of resources for anything and everything you need.
And we have always put ourselves out there. So if there's something that you kind of feel, or you feel comfortable reporting to us, feel free to shoot us a private message, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, and we can get you those resources or even a personal contact through them.
Yep.
If you're just tuning in, this is the end of our Conversaciones segment. And so this is your locutora Isela with La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela.
On 1440 AM. So please stay tuned. We have some events that are happening in our community. Hola, hola. We are back. This is your locutora Isela Martin with La Hora with Isela.
Y Gabriela. I'm locutora too.
Yeah, you can say it.
I want to be locutora.
You can say it.
La locutora Gabriela.
You're a dork. Okay, so welcome back. This is our last segment of the hour, and we wanted to give you some events that are going on in our county. I am going to go outside of our county. This is the first time I'm actually doing this.
Okay.
Yeah. And the, well, it's today, and that's the reason why I'm putting that out there. I bet I always am supporting the agricultural community, and so Thursday, June 7th, from 6 to 9 tonight. Today's the 7th, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so in Woodland, California, they have the Ag Museum, and they have tractors and brews. So it's a event proceeds benefit the museum, and they are also congratulating Makers of Myth and their success in digging in. Early bird tickets were $35, of course, but now you have to pay $50 to get in. But you know what? It's a great benefit because it keeps this Ag Museum up and alive. And so if you're interested, the California Agricultural Museum is located at 1938 Hayes Lane in 58. Woodland. Oops,
38. 58. Oh, I'm sorry.
Right there it says 58.
Well, that's kind of weird. So we have on both ends of the event, 1958 or 1938, Hayes Lane, Woodland, California. So Tractors and Brews, and they're celebrating tonight. So they will have music. They will have along music and sounds will rise along with puffs of smoke.
Oh. Uh-oh.
No, but that would be for your tractors. Ahí los esperamos.
That sounds like fun. And then if you're interested in learning more about a volunteer opportunity and how you can make a difference in an abused and neglected child's life, CASA is looking for you. So CASA, which stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates, are trained community volunteers who work with children in the foster care system. The volunteers provide advocacy, support, and mentorship for children ages 0 through 18. You must be at least 21 years of age, undergo a thorough background and screening process, and complete approximately 36 hours of training. So I believe their next training session is starting pretty soon. If you're interested, contact Julie DeVerity at Napa CASA, 707-257-2272, or you can email at casa@napacasa.org.
Intercambios is still alive and well, so if you're interested in practicing your Spanish more or your English, drop by the Calistoga Library from 6:30 to 7:30 every Wednesday. Participants speak half the time in English and half the time in Espanol. Beginners are welcome, and the sessions are free. Gratis. Si están interesados en aprender a hablar o practicar su inglés o el español, hay una clase en la librería de Calistoga cada miércoles desde las 6:30 a las 7:30. Todo es gratis.
Napa City Nights officially starts tomorrow, and I believe that event is always from about 6:30 to 10 p.m., always held at the Veterans Memorial Park right in the heart of downtown Napa next to downtown Joe's. So, as always, the summer is officially kicking off. They're going to have great live bands. You know that you can just be out there dancing, doing your thing. So, if you're looking to do something fun on a Friday night, Napa City Nights officially starts mañana.
Right. And so we do have notes here saying happy Pride Month. And so I get to participate in a parade on Sunday. And I will be in Sacramento. I'll be representing UC Davis. I'll be helping out my sister, Jessica Martin, Laura Vidal, Alejandro, and Mr. Dean celebrate. And so I'm really, really proud. And also my little sister, Erica, unfortunately, she's not going to make it. And Junior as well. So much love to you guys. And I love representing. And I'm so proud of you guys.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy Pride. Happy Pride. The Spring Bazaar starts tomorrow, June 8th. They are able to, it's basically like a pretty big sale. So find new to you treasures at La Siesta Village from 1 to 3 p.m. on Friday and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday for those of you that like to go and get cool little finds. I know I usually do. I find some pretty cute clothes sometimes in those things. So yeah. I like.
And now, NVC, Napa Valley College, is hosting a beekeeping hive class this summer starting June 11th. For $15, beginner and intermediate beekeepers are welcome. The class meets every second Monday of the month from June to August. And so that's really like, I kind of giggled in the middle because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine being in a beekeeper's class.
I literally would freak out. I'm allergic. The last time I got stung, I had to go to the ER and it swelled up like crazy. I bet. And so, yeah, no, that will not be me. But if you're into beekeeping, you know, definitely go check it out. $15. You get to do something cool, learn something new
right.
for the summer. ¿Por qué no?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So I do have one more. There is going to be a three-day art festival. So it is 3-day art, food, and wine festival 2018. It's in Healdsburg. So it is
fun.
June 15th. Thursday, 14th from 6 to 8. Friday from 12 p.m. to 7. Saturday from 10:30 to 9:30 at night.
That is literally so cool.
So you spend 3 days immersed in the visual arts, culinary arts, vintner's arts, and the inaugural Healdsburg Art, Food, and Wine weekend Thursday all the way through Saturday the 16th in the historic wine country town of Healdsburg in northern Sonoma County. So it's going to be really, really awesome. If you want more information, feel free to visit NapaValleyPatch.com. So you can go patch.com and then it'll give you California Napa Valley and then the calendar for the events. And it'll give you more information on how to purchase the tickets. So please, please, please go out there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, especially how it's going into 3 days. I know more as we see Bottle Rock, we start seeing a lot of people kind of ditto the norm of doing 3 day kind of events mm-hmm. now mm-hmm. at least locally.
Yeah, and I think the jazz festival starts this weekend too, right?
I think so. I don't have information on it. I'm very, very sorry. But that concludes our show for today. Of course, we always like to say el dicho
of the week.
I don't want to go.
No, I want to keep talking about sex with you.
Ay. I love this dicho of the week because it is like so freaking amazing. It's from Marilyn Monroe. Sex is part of nature. I like nature.
Ooh, yes. El sexo es parte de la naturaleza. Me gusta la naturaleza.
So that concludes our show. Much love to everyone. Mi vallecito, muchísimas gracias for listening to La Hora with Isela y Gabriela. This is your host, Isela.
And Gabriela.
And we will see you next week. Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la próxima.